everybody's cell phones and radios are off. No emergency contacts during the meeting. Joe? Not trying to call anybody out here. If everybody's ready, it is 10 a.m. Tuesday, June 1st, 2021. And we're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. If you would all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. That brings us to item number three. This is a discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of today's agenda for June 1st. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Melissa, would you mind letting me know if anybody raises their hand on Zoom? Please. Thank you. We'll just give it a second here. I don't see any public comments in the crowd. Thank you for those who are joining us live. Sorry? The public comment?
No, I have one.
Oh, okay. You've got an item. Gotcha. Austin, go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We ask that we continue number eight to the 15th of June County Commission meeting here at the courthouse.
All right. Noted. Do my fellow commissioners have any comments regarding today's agenda?
No.
Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, for the record, Commissioner Mitchell, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
I'll second your motion.
All right, we've got a motion and a second on the floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Moving right along to item number four. This is also for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes for the March 16th, 2021 meeting. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes? As a reminder for folks out in Zoom land, you can use star six to unmute yourself, or you can use the raise your hand feature. Not seeing any public comment, either in the gallery or on Zoom. My fellow commissioners, have any comments on the minutes?
No comments.
No comment.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from the March 16th, 2021 meeting as presented in the agenda.
I'll second that motion.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to today's consent agenda. This is for possible action. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Do my fellow commissioners have any comments regarding today's consent agenda?
No, no comments.
All right.
No comment.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah. For the record, Commissioner Mitchell, I move to approve today's consent agenda as listed.
Second that motion.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to item number six. This is public comment. This is for items not already on today's agenda. Please keep in mind that the public comment period is 3 minutes long. Is there any public comment today?
Louise Pena, 334 Avenue de la Colors in Lockwood, Rainbow Bend. I would like to state that current action of our Rainbow Bend HOA board has, I believe, went against the homeowners and appointed Larry Austin or Larry Huddleston is the HOA liaison to the county, which I didn't even know existed. Either did most people that attended this meeting. However, I believe the people have already spoken that when they had the election, Larry Huddleston was not voted for the board. Therefore, we do not give up our rights to speak to any county, and he is not representing all the people within Rainbow Bend, but only a small group. I hope that the county commissioners and our county manager takes that into effect. I believe it is kind of a step for them to, again, go back and try to negotiate with the county to rent the CGID, the police, the sheriff's department, any department they want into lots A and B. And I just hope that the commission and our government will consider all homeowners as having a voice and not just a small group. Thank you.
Thank you, Louise. County Manager Osborne, do we have the need for a liaison at Rainbow Bend right now? Do we have an official?
Yes, Austin Osborne, for the record. I'm not aware of an official liaison. I've always liaised with various folks at the Rainbow Bend HOA, as well as anybody in Lockwood. So I can certainly look into that. During my staff report, would you like me to respond regarding some outreach that we're doing in the Lockwood community for, office space and stuff like that?
Please.
Okay. I'll just hold off for staff reports.
Thank you. All right. Is there any other public comment?
Yes, I would like to speak.
Please state your name.
This is Jennifer Agnew, homeowner in Lockwood, also within the Rainbow Bend HOA. I'd also like to follow up with what Ms. Pena was just stating. As a homeowner, as far as I'm concerned, the HOA board does not speak on my behalf at the county level. I'm a homeowner. I can reach out to you myself. And I know that both the commission and Mr. Osborne's manager's office are both very open to that communication. So thank you for that. And as a homeowner, I do not even know for certain that in the board action that appointed Mr. Huddleston into a position called official liaison for the board, I don't even know what it is that he's doing for the HOA board with the county. So I just want the county to understand that the homeowners are here, the residents of Lockwood are all still here, and we all like to hear directly from you. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment today? Give it just another second here.
And Mr. Chairman, I'll just remind you also with Ms. Agnew's comment, I'll also respond to that during the staff report.
Thank you for that. All right. Not seeing any more public comment. We're going to move right along to item number 7. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration of possible approval, update, discussion, and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding upcoming bills and legislation affecting Story County, including but not limited to SB 98, proposing Story County's membership into the Carson Water Subconservancy District, AB 90, a two-year interim study regarding regional impacts, and SCR 11, formerly BDR 1109 and 1148, one-year interim study on innovation zone draft legislation and other properly related matters. As we've done in the past, we're going to break these apart. I know Commissioner Gelman has recused himself regarding the innovation zone stuff. So we'll go through these section by section. And if there's any direction to be given, we will do so. County Manager Osborne, you have the floor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I will ask if Commissioner Gelman would like to make a statement before I begin on SCR 11 innovation zones.
I'm sorry, Austin, would you repeat that for me?
Not a problem. Yeah, just before I begin, Commissioner Gelman, I don't know if you want to abstain and make a statement before I begin. I'll give you that opportunity.
Oh, I appreciate that very much. I believe I've made a statement in the past. However, I will ask the chairman to excuse me from this discussion. I'll recuse myself from from any discussion or voting on the issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Austin, before you get started, I will note that we will take public comment after each item. So if you've got something to say regarding a specific item, we will take public comment after each specific item. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just discuss a little bit SCR 11 innovation zones legislation. Commissioner Mitchell and I, as well as our lobbyists, Mary Walker and Will Adler, spent a considerable amount of time in the legislature, both offline and online, throughout this season. As we know, the legislature has concluded last night at midnight, and they're done. But there will be some interim work that will still proceed. So the innovation zones proposed legislation had been turned into an interim study that is to occur between now and New Year's. And there will be a series of meetings, one that will occur each month with a committee that's created by the legislature. And then that committee is supposed to be made up of four Democrats and two Republicans, respective to the Senate and the Assembly. At this point, the committee has not been created. And we're trying to figure out what exactly is occurring down there or when that will be created. It was expected to be created during the session up until midnight. It's our understanding, as anybody would believe, that the legislature was pushing through a tremendous amount of bills before the deadline, and that this was, kind of pushed to the side. And we're kind of at this point looking and learning to see what this committee might look like. We're asking, of course, that counties be in the committee. The SCR 11, the way it was written, appears to be counties and tribal interests, water interests, natural resources, unions, innovation technology proponents, and others that would be on these committees, or not necessarily the committees, but stakeholders that would interface with the committees. But there's still a little bit to be determined at this point. Nevertheless, we'll be involved one way or another through the process. We have continued throughout the year to express the Board of County Commissioners' position on innovation zones to all the legislators and otherwise during the committees. The last committee that we were aware was revenue on Friday. We spent the whole day Friday down there, and that they had met and then proceeded SCR 11 to move forward. And then the NELIS shows that it did end up in the Senate and move forward from that point. I'll let you know that Teresa Benitez Thompson, she was the advocate for AB 90, the studies. She had put the SCR 11 under her committee, which was revenue. And she had said during that testimony and during the committee meeting that she really wanted to engage in a discussion, not necessarily more at this point, on the impacts that are occurring to the Northern Nevada region from overall economic development. Of course, she's focusing that on Story County. And our response was to that that's fine, because we're going to study this anyway. We have budgeted a substantial sum based on the approval of the budget from this commission for us to have contract services, do a full in-depth fiscal and otherwise assessment to show what we believe will be a positive fiscal impact to the region, not an adverse one. And we're very confident that that will be the finding of this report. And that report will begin immediately. We've already started putting together outlines and other material and working with our financial consultant as well as our bond counsel, and to start looking at what that study is going to look like. At this point, I think there's not much more to say on that, other than we're poised and ready for this study. And we believe that, the study will come out fine, and the innovation zone study, we'll see where that goes. But we'll be certainly heavily involved through the entire process.
Thank you, Austin. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Again, as a reminder, you can use star 6 to unmute yourself or use the raise your hand feature. I'm not seeing any public comment. I do want to take a moment and just thank my fellow Commissioner Vice Chairman Mitchell, staff, County Manager Osborne. I know you guys have been spending a lot of time down there. Your efforts do not go unnoticed. I know the days are long. I talk to Austin on the phone frequently, so thank you for investing time down there. It's extremely important that We keep an eagle's eye on this committee and whatever else is going on related to the Innovation Zone. So thank you for those efforts. All right. I think you can move right along, Austin. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. No other comments on that? I'll move.
Sorry. Do you have any comments, Vice Chairman Mitchell, on that?
Yeah. I was not much. I was just going to say, you know, one of the things that about the last hearing in revenue that was just mildly concerning was that several amendments were offered to the resolution that I thought were well considered and appropriate. One of them was, and this is not our purview, it's for the legislature to decide, but was asking to extend out the finish date of the study to give them a little more time. Others were requests to specifically include, for example, tribal considerations, which is not listed, as if I remember correctly, as a specific area of focus. Same with infrastructure, broader than just water, but overall infrastructure implications, and then specifically considering the impacts on schools. And all of those proposed amendments were not accepted, and the resolution went through as originally written. So that's a little concerning, but I think that the committee will be able to overcome those shortcomings with their work, and we'll continue to engage as we go through. So that's it.
Thank you for that. All right, Austin, moving right along.
Absolutely. AB 90, as I kind of indicated in the last, it died. So that the original bill, of course, was to look at any company that comes into, you know, Story County would have to go to Reno, Sparks, Washoe, Regional Planning, Fernley, Lyon County, Carson City, in order to be approved to be considered for impacts. Then that turned into an interim study. That entire thing died. We recognize that Innovation Zones will have a dash of interim study in it that's AB 90-esque, but nevertheless, AB 90, as it was proposed, did not survive. AB 424, this was the court reform that will require that bail hearings occur within 48 hours. I believe that Judge Harrington is on with us, as well as DA Langer. I believe that one or both of them wanted to speak on this. I'll be happy to defer to them before I continue on if they would like to take ownership on this one. Okay, if they're not on, feel free to interrupt me, either of you, if you're on there. So what this will ultimately lead to is us having to have court on weekends, and that will result in staffing and equipment and other needs. Unfortunately, we were not able to get this thing changed up. NACO was heavily involved, the DA's associations and the judges' associations, as well as us internally with Mary Walker, very heavily involved in this. We were able to get them, however, to extend this to a year, so it will not become effective until this time next year in order for us to budget and prepare accordingly. The judge was in a panic when she found that, you know, this was going to have to start July 1st. It's like, how do you get everything equipped and ready for that in that short a period of time? But this will be a substantial impact to the county financially, but it's what we need to do now.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this? My fellow commissioners have any comments regarding this item?
No. I mean, there's not really a lot we can do with it. Yeah. We'll adapt as best we can.
Yeah. Sorry for the delay. I was shaking my head. Nothing from you, Lance?
Well, you know, in the last meeting, I responded here, and I don't believe that we could be doing anything that's more damaging to the economic diversification of Northern Nevada than continuing to consider this bill. It will absolutely throw cold water and stop any reasonable negotiation with reasonable companies in our area. I can't understand why it's got legs and why it's moving forward. However, that being said, we're just going to have to stay the course, keep a close eye on things, and do the best to interface with them when they start having their discussions.
Thank you, Lance. All right, Austin, you want to go?
Yes. The next one's SB 98, Carson Water Subconservancy District membership. That one went through, no problem. It has passed. And so we can begin actually having some eligibility for grant funding and other projects, particularly for the Mark Twain flood project. That'll be our next move on that one.
Is that it?
Yeah, there's others, but I'll stop.
No problem. Any public comment regarding the subconservancy? My fellow commissioners have any comments?
No, just glad to see that one go through.
Agreed.
Okay.
Thank you, Lance. Go ahead, Austin.
Okay, the next one's AB 341, cannabis lounges. They're now allowed, or there will be. It is discretionary, though, so a county can prohibit them or be more restrictive than the state.
Okay. All right. Is there any public comment regarding cannabis lounges? Fellow commissioners?
No, thank you.
No comments.
All right, moving right along.
All right, the next one, SB 448. This was the Green Link project by Nevada Energy or NV Energy. This was essentially create redundancy power grid through the state and also provide for solar feed into the state, not only from internally, but from other states and jurisdictions. And then also to create electric car infrastructure through like the Highway 50 corridor and the corridor between Ely and Vegas and back up through 95. That passed.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this? My fellow commissioners want to chime in regarding electric cars?
No, thank you.
All right.
Nothing, thank you.
All right, moving right along.
Okay, and then on the Green Link one, one of the benefits to this region is just more redundancy and power here, especially for Tri-Center and otherwise in this area for economic development. The next one, AB 116, it's not really a bill we've been interfacing with, but NACO and others have, but traffic tickets across the state will now be civil, so there will no longer be criminal penalty for speeding tickets and that sort of thing.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? My fellow commissioners want to comment on this?
No, I was wondering if the sheriff had.
I was waiting for the sheriff.
Sheriff had any input for us?
Yep. Anything about this one, Sheriff?
I think we're going to see more problems with traffic because it takes the teeth out of it. So all we can do is deal with it.
More deputies.
This is Judge Harrington. Can you hear me?
Yes, Judge, loud and clear.
Yes, I was trying to get on earlier, and for some reason my phone wouldn't unmute. On AB 116, the one you're just talking about, there's actually many, many, many traffic violations that are going to remain misdemeanors. So it's not all traffic violations. There's a long list that I provided to the DA and sheriff a couple weeks ago. So it will not be all traffic violations. Just want to make that clear.
Thank you for that, Judge. Any other public comment regarding AB 116? All right, moving right along.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. With Judge Harrington on now, we did talk about Judge Harrington, AB 424, the weekend court. Would you like to weigh in anything else that maybe wasn't discussed on that and your concerns with it?
Well, Judge Harrington here. The big deal was the 48 hours and they wouldn't move it to non-judicial days, but one of the big changes they did make was it doesn't go into effect until July 1st, 2022, instead of immediately. And they will allow for telephonic or remote bail hearings. However, they still have to be recorded because we're a court of record. So they did make some changes, but it basically, you know, just adds to the responsibilities of the JP here in Story County. That's all I need to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Judge. All right, Austin, you want to move on to the next one?
Sure. The next, I'll just kind of cover both of the things. Some of these are just, I'm letting you know what's going on statewide.
Sure.
The mail-in ballot, of course, you know that that passed, so that will be how it is now. Nevada will be, I believe, the first state now in the election system as far as the primary goes, and then the state will apparently be going from a caucus to a primary election. And then last, kind of on state matters, just so you're aware, they did sort out the American Recovery Program, or the American Rescue Program, the federal money that's being printed for rescue. Anyway, we believe potentially that we may get somewhere around $1 million, maybe a little bit less. I know Laura Mather has been working very hard on trying to figure out where all this is coming from and where it's going, but that might really help us with some infrastructure projects.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this? My fellow commissioners have any comments?
I was just going to say, I think this moving the primary up is probably wishful thinking. I don't think the national parties are going to let it stand. That's my understanding. I think one of the reasons that we were allowed to be as early as we were was because we had a caucus. And you take that away, I have a feeling that one of the unintended consequences of this is that we'll get a lot less attention from presidential candidates, a lot less less media buys and those kind of things. But it'll be interesting to see how that comes together.
I'll let you know how it works out.
All right.
Anything else?
Last on here, just a reminder, on June 15th at the County Commission meeting, they were proposed an agenda item for Walker and Associates, as well as Will Adler with United States Government Relations, or a lobbyist, will come and give a full presentation of the work they did in the legislature for various bills.
Great. And they'll be in-house?
Yes.
Fantastic. And that's on June 15th?
Correct.
Fantastic. Looking forward to that. All right. Thank you for that update, Austin. We've taken care of public comment. We are going to move on to item number 9, which is discussion only. No action and public comment will be taken. We're going to move on to staff reports, and we're going to kick off staff reports with the Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Antonoro.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One little thing, kind of a follow-up to the legislative stuff. For anybody watching, the gun bills, Assembly Bill 286, the one dealing with the so-called ghost guns that has been delivered to the governor for a signature. I haven't seen where he signed it yet, but I'm sure he's going to. So no more homemade guns that you buy in a kit. Part of AB 286, when it was first introduced, included expansion basically of gun-free zones. That was removed from the initial bill that has gone to the governor, but it was snuck back in just right at the end of the session under an emergency measure as Senate Bill 452. I received an email from Senator Hansen late last night saying that bill has died. So no change on the gun-free zones. And other than that, that's all there is.
Thank you, Sheriff. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for the sheriff?
No, thank you.
No questions.
All right. Moving right along to the fire department, Chief Longcar, in person. What do you have for us today?
Jeremy Longcar for the record. I'll make this quick. I do have an agenda item later, but we did fill our fuels management officer position this last week. That was by an internal staff, so now I'll have to go out and look for firefighters. But we'll be interviewing the next 2 weeks pretty extensively to fill all our positions, and hopefully we get the NV Energy staff up and going within the month. Great. So that's all I have to report. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving right up. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for the chief?
No, good to go. Thank you.
Good to go.
Thank you. Moving on to Public Works, Jason Wurzbicki. You out there?
Morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Wurzbicki for the record. We completed the road project out in Cartwright. All the patchwork, slurry seal, and striping has been completed, as well as the track complex. And that's about all I have for today.
All right. Before I go to my fellow commissioners, I do want to thank you as a Highlands resident. Cartwright looks great. That's it. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for Jason? Comments?
No, just thank you. I got to drive a portion of that. It looks real good.
Been a long time coming, but it's finally now. Thank you for everybody's effort.
Indeed. All right. Moving along to projects. Mike Northan with us. I see you, Mike, but you got mute on. You texting him?
Why don't we move past Mike and then we'll come back and revisit him.
Communications Dispatch, Becky Parsons, are you out there?
Good morning, Becky Parsons for the records. The only thing I have is that we are going to be doing our transition for the radios on June 23rd and that we have started to kind of start moving our equipment over to the new building.
All right. Does that mean the new building's up in action on the 23rd?
That means I will have a dispatcher for police and fire on the 23rd at the new dispatch center, yes.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
My fellow commissioners, have any questions for Becky?
No, thank you.
None, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that update, Becky. Emergency management, Joe Curtis. In the flesh.
Joe Curtis for the record, Story County Emergency Management. Thank you. It was kind of like a new room when I came in here, you know. Right. I haven't been in here in a while.
Like the old days.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, commissioners. You don't have a lot to go over here, but today being June 1st, we're kind of all waiting for a formal statement from the governor as to the status of COVID in Nevada and exactly what he made pre-statements. But we're still waiting to hear something formal of where he's going to go at this point. Currently, Story County has a total of 111 cases. 8 of them are active. That may not be accurate. They're probably less than that, significantly less than that. But it's still showing as 8 active. And we had the maximum of 3 passing away from the COVID over the long haul. Since early May, we've acquired 1 new case, and that was early last week. We sent that out. Our positivity rate for the county still shows a 5% positivity rate, but that appears to be a little high, I would think, because the statistic problem that we've been facing all along. So as you will see statistics come out and it might show to be a little bit higher. Just keep in mind that we haven't had a case for quite a while here. So except for the 1 last week. So the total for the Quad County for March of 2020, as of March of 2020, or 2021, excuse me, is 12,817 cases for the 4 counties all total. Currently 206 of them are still active as of today, and the total for the 4 counties in deaths was 227 to this point. So it's interesting. I saw a new statistic on there that caught me, and I thought this is kind of interesting that for the 4 county area, the population within the 4 counties, Carson, Douglas, Lyon, and Stories, is 168,693 population. I thought that's a lot of people in this 4 county area. So when we think about it in terms of a quad county concept, a kind of a regionalized coalition, we're dealing with a lot of people. And I don't think that really came to my mind here previously and realizing that we're all kind of in this together. Then this will be the last week that I'll be emailing out the daily or weekly COVID case statistics because they're down so low that they're not of major importance at this point. However, if if things should change, if something strange should happen in the case loads or the statistics or so forth, we certainly can start sending stuff out again. Or if you have questions, email me and I'll give you the whatever is current that we have and so forth. But unless you have some particular reason, someone in the public or whatever would need to know, they're certainly willing to email me and we'll get them whatever information. So I think that, we're at a point where we can kind of relax a little bit, take a deep breath and say we do have some nice fresh air out there. And we're looking forward to a kind of a peak summer tourism session. And I think that, you know, we've had quite a bit of tourism going on and we've weathered that. We've had a lot of tourists on the weekends and so forth, and it has not seemed to have an effect on our statistics wise or even in the regional, the four county area. So there's something good to say about that, I think. Other than that, that's all I have for you this morning, unless you have some questions.
Thank you very much for that great news, Joe. My fellow commissioners have any questions for Joe?
My only question is actually to follow up, and maybe Laura has better data on this. I've noticed in a couple of places, some media sources have picked up the misreporting or the quirk that we have in our vaccination rate reporting for the county. And just wondering if we have any sort of update on that and if there's a way for us to get a little more accurate on the actual numbers of vaccinations.
Well, unfortunately, we're not the ones that produce the statistic. It's the state that produces that statistic. And Laura may have another little angle to it as well, because she's a lot closer to that information usually than I am.
Great. Yeah, I'll look forward to that, because my concern is that a narrative may form that we're not participating in the vaccinations at a level that, you know, that may cause concern for some people, that there's an elevated risk, when in reality the case numbers are
all based on who gets or who receives the not who receives it in the arm, who receives it to administer. Mm-hmm. And it all goes to Carson City for the four county
Understood.
Region. So that's why it looks like the other counties don't look right either, except Carson City looks like they're way over good, doing really super. So, and Laura, like I say, may have some other thoughts on that.
Very good. Thank you, Joe.
Sure. Thank you.
Any questions for Joe, Lance?
No, no questions. You know, I noted that China just announced that the first case of bird flu has now been found in China. So I wonder if the next shoe is about to drop.
Oh, and I just started growing my COVID mustache out again. I knew it was bad luck. Thank you for that, Joe. All right, moving right along to community relations. Laura Mather, in person.
Morning, Laura Mather, Community yes. Relations Coordinator. Yes. So before I forget and move on to what I have noted, with regard to the statistics, I went through the statistics that are provided to us. They are on the state website. One of the issues that I found in it is the statistics list our population for 12 years old and up. And people 12 to 18, or actually 12 to 17, that's just open to them. So with them including those numbers, it appeared that our percentage was actually lower than it is. The percentage that we see based on the numbers that are on the graphs provided by the state, we are about 14% fully vaccinated. Although we did go through all of the numbers that we are aware of, and we believe that we are about at 33%. So it's kind of unfortunate that, you know, again, we share zip codes with other counties. And so we're not sure if somebody gets vaccinated in another county, that other county is aware that the Highlands, who has a Reno address, is actually in Story County. We can confidently say that at the absolute minimum, about 14% of our population is vaccinated, but we believe it is more along the lines of 30 to 33% vaccinated.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So with that, today is our last scheduled vaccination pod here in the county. It's possible that we'll have more vaccination pods scheduled, but at this time we don't. But I do want to remind everybody that gethealthycarsoncity.org, you can look up and see where the Quad County Carson City Health and Human Services vaccinated. Anybody can get vaccinated in any of the Quad counties, plus reminders that there's pharmacies now doing it, health clinics, doctor's offices. So there's lots of opportunities for people to be able to get vaccinated. Moving on to something that's not COVID related, our historic preservation grant for our historic district survey is moving right along. Beginning July 7th through August 6th, we will have four graduate students that are going out throughout the Comstock Historic District section of Story County. So we will make that more public as we move closer to that. Like, I'll let dispatch know in case somebody calls 911 that there's people standing out in front of their houses. But through the grant, we were able to purchase these mini iPads. Alexandra Reed from Far West Engineering created a really neat program, and I'm happy to share it with the commissioners or county manager after the meeting or at your convenience. It is really neat, and one of the things that I get to do over the next couple of weeks is play with it. So if somebody sees me standing out in front of their house, that's what I'm doing. But they just carry these around. There's a map that's loaded in here. All of the information is loaded in. You bring up the map, it points at right where you're standing. So when I bring it up, it shows a dot over the courthouse that's where I'm located. So all of the structures within that district that need to be recorded, there's a little star on it. So you hit the little star, brings up the map, brings up all of the preloaded data, like the address, the APN. And then there's all kinds of boxes to check. So we're going to check whether it's unreinforced masonry, what the structure is made out of, what the roof is made out of, what the window style is. So all of this data that the students can gather for all of the structures. And then with this, they can also take a photograph that will be attached to the data. And then each afternoon, the students will go to the Comstock Historic District building. They'll kind of go through historic records, make sure that what they're logging into the survey is correct. So they're going to be four students, two teams of two each. So again, they'll be moving out throughout the county. They'll be stopping in front of businesses, private residences, gathering that information. Obviously, they won't go onto the property. They'll do it from the street to gather that information. So again, I will make sure and get the word out so everybody's aware of that. And like I said, it's pretty cool. So if you guys would like to see it, I'm happy to share it with you. Just love toys. That's the end of my report. Stacy York is helping Honey Tapley out at our vaccination pod. So she wanted me to give her a report for the senior center. She wants to remind everybody that they're fully open. And she also wanted me to let people know, particularly in the Lockwood Rainbow Bend area, that for the VCTC Merchants and Residents Barbecue, we will have a shuttle bus that will bring people up for that. It seats 9 people, so I encourage people to reach out if they're interested in a ride up and a ride back. If they are, if they'd like to sign up, they can call Tony at 775-342-2840 to make a reservation for that ride. That's the end of my report.
Thank you very much for that, Laura. My fellow commissioners have any questions?
No, thank you.
Good, thank you.
All right, thank you for that, for both. Thanks for covering both sides. We're going to bounce back to Mike Northan for projects.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, loud and clear now.
My apologies to the board. I've been having some computer issues and locked up tight right when I went to start video on that. So I have my cell phone standing by in case I fall off the line again.
No problem.
Just a couple of quick items for you today. On the V&T Freight Depot, we are very close to having a fire alarm monitoring agreement in place. The minute I have that, we'll be getting that fence down that's around the building. We're going to be removing some of the junk that's still on the north side of the freight deck, kind of straightening up the site, getting rid of some of the weeds, and then that building will be available for some limited uses. Item number two, the IT addition. It's currently underway. Earthwork is moving along very well. They're going to be pouring concrete this week for the foundation and some bollards. Lockwood Senior Center, preliminary design is well underway there. This Friday, I'll be meeting on site with the architect to address the interior renovations and to be locating some site utilities that will be associated with the proposed commercial kitchen there. Last item is the traffic signal maintenance. I've been in contact with NDOT with respect to full funding for traffic signal maintenance. I hope to very soon be able to present you a budget and a proposal, a plan to bring both of our signals on USA Parkway under a uniform maintenance and repair program that will be scalable as we add new signals along USA Parkway. So I will continue to keep you updated on that. And then I have an agenda item coming up in a few minutes. And that's all I have today, sirs.
Thank you, Mike. My fellow commissioners have any questions for Mike?
No, thank you.
Yeah, I just want Mike to know that I really appreciate his choice of cap. I like that a lot.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks again, Mike. moving right along to the VCTC. Denny Dodson, are you out there?
Denny's not, but Katie is.
Katie is. So go for it, Katie.
Okay, thanks. So I'll be quick. Katie DeMuth with the VCTC. We've had a couple great weekends, last couple weekends with Chili kind of kicking it off, and then the Memorial cruise on Saturday. We're just moving forward with events. We have Street Vibe Spring Rally this weekend. It is looking to be bigger than normal. They're putting in a couple, I think, a stage with some music each day, and they have about half a dozen vendors coming. So we're looking forward to that. After Street Vibes, the County Barbecue Welcome Back event is going to be June 11th. As Laura stated, there will be shuttles from various communities, but we're inviting everybody. It is free. There will be food and music and just a good time, and it will kick off at 4 o'clock. And then leading a couple weeks after that, we're going to really have a bang up 4th of July. We're looking to have a parade like normal. So get registered for that. Also fireworks and kind of the normal entertainment during the day. And that's all I have.
Thank you for that, Katie. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for Katie?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Moving right along, water and sewer. Mr. Mike Nevin.
Good morning, commissioners. For the record, Mike Nevin. Good to be back in person, actually, here.
Agreed.
Seeing everybody faces once again. Anyway, give you a little update on the projects that we're currently involved with. Of course, the first one is the tank project. And before winter hit at the end of last week, we did complete the work on State Route 342 there, removing the old pipe and valve cluster from the highway there and getting that temporarily patched back. The remaining work on the highway there will be eventually to grind and repave the section where the old valve cluster was removed up past where the new valve cluster currently exists. That's an NDOT requirement. So that'll be forthcoming, and I don't have a date yet for when they anticipate to get that work completed. But once again, when that does happen, we'll have detour around that work area there. Secondly, the electrical, the new electrical and the SCADA system at the site have been completed. We're heated up, are now online. So we have now restored all of the links between that site, the wastewater treatment plant, and the tank up here at the top of Taylor Street. So that's all up and running now. Secondly, moving along, the
Boilermaker should finish their work on tank two this week. They have a little bit of work left on the roof structure, and they have to install the interior, exterior ladder assemblies and the safety railing and the hatch at the top of the tank. So once they're out of there, then we can get the sandblasters up there and they can do their thing and then the coating process. Also last week, the X-ray of the welds was completed by a Black Eagle. So we're awaiting their results. We don't anticipate any problems there, but that's one of the requirements. So looking forward to seeing their report and make sure everything turned out just fine with that. The Gold Hill project, we're still on track to receive the building this month. They're anticipating a delivery date of sometime around the 17th. As far as I know, that has not changed. So, and we can press forward once the building shows up on site there. Secondly, myself and your certified operator, Blake Hiller, accompanied NDP, one of their compliance officers, on an inspection of that project down there. Mark Kamensky, Mark's been with NDP, and we've dealt with him for many, many, many years. Very pleased with what he saw as the progress there, considering what the implications of COVID and, of course, the disruptions in the supply chain have, you know, brought to that project there. But he's very pleased with the progress made thus far. So that's a good sign. Always keep them people on our side. Nice. In checking with NV Energy and their start date, they had some difficulties dealing with the NDOT permits branch. And they have to have a permit for working in and around the highway there. There was some confusion between their lands people and the NDOT folks. They thought that there would have to be some new easements involved, and we reached the conclusion that is not the case. So the permit was expected to be issued as of last Friday, and we'll be following up with that this week so we can get anticipated start date for when they can run that new three phase up the highway there to the site. And that concludes my report, unless one of the members has a question.
Thank you for that, Mike. My fellow commissioners have any questions for Mike?
No, thank you.
Fine, thank you.
Appreciate the report, Mike. All right, moving right along to the comptroller's office. We have Comptroller McCain with us today.
I am. Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to fill you in a little bit on what we're doing for the end of the year for the current budget. I've been working on augments and transfers, which allow us to adjust our current budgets to account for unforeseen expenses or extra revenues that would account for extra expenses or changes in priorities throughout the year. We will be doing some transfers that you'll have official paperwork at the next meeting, but we'll be doing transfers within general fund departments within themselves where some priorities had changed. Other funds that we'll be dealing with because of over budget revenues would be drug court, emergency mitigation, and grants. All of those had extra expenses due to the fact that they had extra income. I wanted to give you some good news. As of current date, our general fund revenue, we budgeted $18,274,531. We have currently taken in $18,809,988. So that's $585,000 over budget as far as our revenues go. Our expenses, on the other hand, we budgeted $18,019,961. And currently, through this fiscal year, we have spent $13,925,000, which is 22% under our budget. So we are looking pretty good for the current year. We just will have a few minor changes that we need to make to ensure that everybody is in budget. That's all I have.
Thank you for that, Jennifer. My fellow commissioners, have any questions?
Nothing, thank you.
Comptroller McCain, I was just going to ask, with these current year revenue and expense numbers, are we anticipating them to change substantially from here? I know we may have some wrap-up for the month, or are these substantially what we're looking to end the year with?
I think we'll see some minor changes as far as expenses. I've reached out to each department to let me know by May 30th if they had any large purchases that they were going to be making in June. I have only gotten a couple, so I don't anticipate expenses to change that much. I know with revenue, we get revenue all throughout the month, and we also take some revenue that trickles in July, and we bounce that back. So we could have small changes in both.
Okay, thank you. And any broad brush attribution that we can give to either the increased revenue or the decreased expenses?
I think the decreased expenses are mainly in part to everybody being very conservative through the pandemic. We asked at the beginning of the year for all of our departments to really be conscious of their spending because we didn't know what was going to happen throughout this. And this is really very much your department heads paying attention to what they're doing.
Great. Thank you. That's impressive. Much appreciated.
I'll have next time.
Question. Yep. All right. Thank you again for that, Jennifer. Move along to the assessor's office. Jana, are you out there today? I don't see her out there, so we'll move along. Planning department, Kathy or Lindy, do you have anything for us today?
Good morning. This is Kathy. So, no, I don't have anything today. Thank you.
Thank you. Our recorder's office, Recorder Martinez, do you have anything?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Nothing today. Thank you.
Thank you. IT department, James Dean, do you have anything?
Good morning, Commissioners. A couple of items. We're onboarding our new staff member today, Nick Fonzo. So it's going to be helpful to have some extra bodies in the IT department to get stuff done. We're going to be adding a new microwave link from the Divide building over to Public Works. Currently, it's just a stub network so we could get Eileen and the cord in there as quickly as possible. But we're going to add a second link to that building, which will make it redundant and also make the water treatment plant and the new IT facility redundant as well. And then finally, like Becky mentioned, with dispatch, we've completed moving all of the IT equipment from the jail network room to the new dispatch facility. That's 100% completed. So all the other hardware moves and configurations is basically on the vendors at this point. The IT portion is completed. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you for that, James. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for James?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Right along to HR. Toby, do you have anything?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. No, HR has nothing to report this time.
Thank you. How about community development? I see Martin out there.
Good morning, Commissioners. Martin Acevedo for the record.
Director of Community Development and County Fire Marshal. Just a couple things real quick. I'm happy to announce that our draft has been completed for our strategic plan for community development. I'm reviewing it right now. It looks really great. Some good information has come out of it. So hopefully we will have it final soon for you. The other thing, two things, just want to remind everyone that we are in wildland fire season. And we've been getting some here and there fires throughout the state. Truckee Meadows had a fire, brush fire out at Pyramid Lake due to fireworks yesterday. And then we also had another one at the state line on I-80 due to a campfire. So please, everybody be careful out there. It is very dry. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Martin. Much appreciated. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for Martin?
No, thank you.
I think thank you.
All right. Community Chest, we have Eric Schoen with us today.
Yes, we do. Good morning, commissioners. I just have a short update on our summer youth programs. This week, our before and after school programs for the elementary students and the middle schools are in abeyance. We have a week where our staff will be getting tuned up for the summer programs, which will open full swing next week. We already have, I think it's 55 or 60 students who've been enrolled, including a pretty sizable number of middle school students of 15. So it should be inactive. If you folks happen to come by, you should see a lot of activity during the summer. Basically, as a reminder, every week is like its own little themed summer camp, which is with its own. And so they might focus on construction trades or they might focus on art or what have you. But each week is a sort of a different theme and a different focus to help kind of keep the kids motivated and interested. So otherwise, everything else is in full swing. So unless there's any questions, that's my report.
Thank you for that, Eric.
Yeah.
Fellow commissioners, have any questions for Eric?
No, thank you.
All right.
Well, thank you.
All right, moving along to the Justice Court. Does the judge have anything for us today? She's still on? Oh. How about the DA's office? Is there anything coming from there today?
Keith Loomis, there's nothing new to report today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Second to last, County Manager's Office. What do you have today, Austin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple things. This County Commission should probably see all of the appointed office strategic plans drafted and ready for this board's consideration to discuss, and then we'll reach out to the elected offices. Not all the appointed offices have started yet. There's a couple left, so we're working on that. The capital improvement plan, we're still working on that draft. It is the post-2024 CIP. All the departments are going through that list of things and adding anything they think they might need in the next 10 years, and then we'll get that thing ready for this board. I'm anticipating August-ish, right around that area for consideration. So regarding comments that were made earlier today at this commission meeting, as far as Lockwood and offices and all that, we've listened to every comment that comes in out there. So there's been town halls, open air and otherwise. There's been, I've met with the, the Canyon GID and the Lockwood LCC, as well as the Rainbow Bend Homeowners Association. And then I've met with individual people, you know, just here and there, and there's been phone calls, et cetera. And in that, you know, people have expressed their interest in what they would like to see in Lockwood as far as having some satellite community services. And when I'm hearing a consistent pattern from a lot of people, pretty much all of them, is that they would like the senior center, community center, and those services to be provided where it is. They like the area. It's a neutral area where LCC people don't have to go into Rainbow Bend. Rainbow Bend people don't have to go into LCC and vice versa. You know, and it just creates kind of a neutral territory place. It's county owned land that people can go and enjoy county services and visit with each other, et cetera. We talked about having a satellite office at the Lockwood area where we could have, you know, a DMV one day, a county manager could go down there a day. Other county offices could set up shop for a day or so, and whether it's once a month or whatever, you know, that would be available. And one option that I've talked with the sheriff about is we have talked next year about replacing the substation building with a much more appropriate building. And it'd probably be modular, but a nice one. And then maybe we could get one that's big enough that has an extra office on the end of it that's totally separate access. And that would be a place that, you know, on Tuesdays, once a month, I'll go down there and spend the day and people can come in and see me and every office can share it and do something like that. So that seems to be very palatable to people down there. They like the idea of having these satellite offices at the community center as well. The problem is, as you add onto the building, it gets very expensive. Then it takes away parking. There's some logistics or some issues. That SO office, as long as the sheriff is okay with it and we work it such a way it doesn't conflict with his side, seems to be a palatable idea. And people in the community seem to like what that idea is. As far as the annexes at the Rainbow Bend Clubhouse, that is still on the table for discussion. I've told everybody that I talked to pretty much the same thing I'm saying here, but more of this community workshops and things are, you know, leaning the other direction, that there's a neutral place people would like to go. But our ears are always open. There will be more town halls coming. And that kind of leads into my next one, which ties into this a little bit, is there will be the next town hall in Mark Twain was moved from last Thursday because we're down at the legislature. To next Thursday, so it would be on, or this coming Thursday, sorry, at 5:15. So it'll be an open air out town hall at 5:15, drop in any time within the hour, and then after that, then Lockwood would be back up for another town hall, and then we could certainly discuss the satellite offices and other services down there at that time. And that's all I have, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Austin. My fellow commissioners have any questions for Austin?
Mr. Osborne, just to confirm, the town hall in Mark Twain is on the 10th. Does that sound right?
Yes, that is correct. The 10th, it'll be at the community center in the parking lot. It'll be outdoors. Just drop in as you want over the hour.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. 10th at 5:15.
Yeah, I have it down as the 10th also.
And Mr. Chairman, I just want to comment that after the 8 years that or so that I've spent on the commission, I am it's so rewarding to see that we're spending a lot of effort, time, focus on our outlying communities. I applaud what we're doing down in Lockwood. We've been working on that process for a long time now, and certainly the same thing is happening down in Mark Twain. So I really see this as stair-stepping toward a lot of improvement and focus on our county as a whole. And I couldn't be more proud and pleased. Thank you for that report, Austin.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Lance. And I'm sure the residents feel the same way. Thank you for that. All right, bringing us to, as I say, last but not least, the clerk's office. Clerk Stevens, do you have anything for us today? You do? Oh my goodness.
I just wanted to give you a quick update. Several months ago, we adopted the diesel tax, yep. And that went to effect in March, and we got our first batch of revenue from the state, and it brought in $32,217.30. The fuel tax for that same month was $24,047.06. So I think it's going to be a pretty good source of revenue for us.
Great. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Fellow commissioners, have any questions for the clerk?
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that, Vanessa. All right. I want to thank all the staff for the great updates today. And that is going to move us right along to board comments. Item number 10. I'll start off with Commissioner Gilman. Do you have any comments for us today?
I don't have anything further to add. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything today?
I was just going to mention that some of my kids and I were able to participate in the cruise on for Memorial Day, and it was a great turnout. Good feeling in town. It was very, very positive. So I'm happy to be able to remember those who have given their lives to protect us and our freedom, and also just to have an opportunity to get to gather with the community for a reason like that.
Great. Thank you. I do not have any comments today. So that is going to bring us on to item number 11. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval to award a contract to the successful bidder for propane fuel delivery service to County Tanks in accordance with the submitted bids. Mr. Northan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just some background on this. The county's existing fuel delivery contract is at the end of its term. The current company under contract is Feral Gas. The company had a couple of, the county had a couple of small issues with Feral Gas, but overall the service was adequate. The county solicited quotes for propane delivery and publicly advertised the contract opportunity. We had multiple inquiries and four companies submitted sealed bids. Now, the last time we went out to bid for this service, we had only one respondent. So we had contacted several smaller companies and asked why they weren't bidding on our contract. We had determined that several factors were limiting their competitiveness and therefore their incentive to participate. So for this bid, we made some changes in the terms and conditions that increased the incentive for smaller companies to participate and to enhance the service that the prospective companies will be required to provide as a part of this contract. We extended the contract time to 3 years from 1 year. This allows smaller companies to attempt to recover their investment of installing about 40 tanks at county locations. The contract is extendable by mutual agreement for additional one-year terms. We granted a time period of 60 days to change out all of the tanks countywide during the summer months with a provision that requires temporary tanks for inclement or out-of-season weather. County buildings shall not be without propane service at any time. We imposed a $1,000 fine for any tank run-dry event. Running out of propane during the winter months can be a serious problem, and this fine was intended to provide a strong incentive to prevent that. We specified Targa San Francisco as the baseline rack rate as published weekly in the BPN newsletter. This levels the playing field for all companies to peg their propane base rate to a regional distributor for the West Coast. We also requested a schedule of tank prices so that the county can plan for purchasing tanks rather than renting them. The idea being that if the county owns their own tanks, this makes us much more agile in selecting services or discharging a company for cause and re-engaging with another provider. We're looking at probably maybe 10 tanks per year to purchase, and this would be in consultation with Buildings and Grounds Division. This will spread out the cost of the cost impact of this purchase. We also solicited prices for installation of seismic valves at all county buildings. Only one bidder submitted a price for those, so we may pursue that as a separate contract under plumbing rather than on the supply side. But as a result of these changes, we had four companies that submitted responsive bids. There's a bid tabulation sheet that was included in the information packet for this item. The bidding companies were High Sierra Propane, Suburban Propane, Comstock Propane, and Feral Gas. The county received sealed bids until 2 p.m. on April 27, 2021. At that time, bids were opened and publicly read aloud. The Director of Public Works and the Operations and Projects Coordinator were present. All bids were found to be responsive. So staff determined that Comstock Propane is the apparent low bidder with a price per gallon rate of Targa rack rate plus 25 cents per gallon. A price per gallon for county employees of Targa rack rate plus 50 cents per gallon, and a price per gallon for Story County residents of a Targa rack rate plus 90 cents per gallon. The tank rental rate was quoted as $1 per tank per year, so that amounts to about $40 per year countywide. Now, this is a substantial savings over the current average for residents of about $1.50 over rack rate, and that information is about a month old, actually almost 2 months old. The county itself is a substantial consumer of propane, and the rate of 25 cents per gallon over rack is a substantial savings over the current 40 cents per gallon under our current contract. Another factor that we considered here was responsiveness. Both Comstock Propane and High Sierra Propane have facilities located in the area. Both companies seem to have a good track record of being responsive to customers. The prices for tank purchase were very similar across the board, and those costs were driven more by steel availability than the propane suppliers. And the tank rental rates were similar in that two companies offered $1 per tank per year, and two companies offered $0 per tank per year. With all of these factors taken into consideration, both Comstock Propane and High Sierra Propane are good candidates for the award of this contract. Comstock Propane edges out Ferrellgas with a slightly lower per gallon pricing. So your staff recommendation is that we award the contract to Comstock Propane. And with that, I'll turn it over to the board.
Thank you for that, Mike. Let's go to public comment on this first. Is there any public comment regarding this item? As a reminder, you can use the raise your hand feature or star six to unmute yourself. Not seeing any public comment. My fellow commissioners, Commissioner Gelman, do you have any questions for Mike or staff?
I don't have any questions. I think this certainly highlights the value of competitive bidding. And, you know, I'm delighted that we're now to a point in the county where we had that many folks respond to our request. Mike, I think it was a wonderful outcome. So let's do some more of it. I've been looking for that for a long time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Gelman.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have anything?
No questions. Thank you. And thank you for the tabulation sheet, because that helps kind of put it in easy terms to compare. My only comment as I look through it is, you know, Comstock certainly is the most competitive when it comes to the direct price per gallon. One point of maybe hesitation for me is that it looks like Ferrellgas is willing to offer substantially or a somewhat better rate for the residents of the county. And that was something that was kind of important to me. And I had mentioned to County Manager Osborne that if there was a way to leverage the volume of business that we as a county do to provide a benefit to the residents, that I thought that was a good use of our time and kind of our clout, if you will, of the amount of propane that we use. And so while it's not a huge difference between what's being proposed to be offered by both High Sierra and Comstock, it is slightly better as a direct benefit to the residents in general. But again, that would be offset by a slightly higher price to the county. So
anything else?
No.
You know, I want to say, you know, I appreciate the effort put forward. I've been a user of Ferrellgas out in the Highlands, and they've been fine. You know, I do appreciate, obviously, all these folks being willing to give residential customers a break. The one thing I didn't notice, Mike, and I'm not going to flip back to your chart just yet, does Comstock have any other fees associated like Ferrell normally does regarding minimum deliveries or surcharges?
No, sir, not as far as I'm aware. I'd have to look at it's based on our agreement. So it's whatever was in the bid documents. And I think we specified there would be no taxes and no additional fees. So I'll have to verify that for you.
Okay. I can go back there too. So, yeah, other than that, I don't really have any questions, and I'm comfortable moving forward. If my fellow commissioners are with approving the contract for Comstock. So, go for it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. I just first want to commend Mike for really coming up with a way to make this competitive, to try to get these other folks to come on board. He did a great job on this. But I think the best thing is what Commissioner Mitchell, what you had mentioned, is we had asked them to, you know, what can the residents get out of this? And perhaps in the next round, we can get that thing even down closer to or even at the employee level. We really find that important. One thing is, as far as fees go in the contract, we do have something new in here. This would be if we have a tank go dry in the county, we can charge the company $1,000. That has happened, and it could be catastrophic to these historic buildings if that were to go dry in the wintertime. So that is one fee.
Okay. Thank you for that, Austin. Do my fellow commissioners want to discuss this more, or Vice Chairman, are you ready to entertain a motion?
I think I'm comfortable going ahead and making a motion to to accept staff's recommendation.
Okay.
If that's all right. So yep. Commissioner Mitchell, move to award the contract for propane fuel delivery and authorize the county manager to execute an agreement with Comstock Propane for the delivery of propane fuel to county tanks.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Commissioners.
All right, moving us on to item number 12. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution 21-615 regarding the publication of notice of the proposed amendment of a lease of additional office space and parking spaces to TRI GID and providing for a public meeting on July 6, 2021 to consider objections to the amended lease. It is proposed that the existing lease to the TRI GID be amended to provide 160 square feet of additional office space and 180 square feet of additional parking space at the county building located at 1705 Peru Drive in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. No additional rental amount above the $900 TRI GID is currently paying will be charged. DA Loomis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's authorization for the county to lease property that it owns to another governmental entity without putting it up for a public bid process under Chapter 277. In order to do that, the county has to adopt a resolution which provides for publicizing notice that the county is going to lease property and providing a date for a public hearing on the proposed lease at which objections to the proposed lease can be made. And so what Resolution 21-615 does is it gives the basic information as to what we're proposing to do to amend the existing lease to TRI GID to give them some additional space. And the proposed notice is attached, and there is the date set for the hearing in the resolution for July 6th. And that is what is before you today.
Anything else, Keith?
No, that's it.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding item number 12? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Assistant DA Keith Loomis?
No questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have anything for Keith?
I don't. I was just wondering if we wanted to maybe see if Ms. Whalen wanted to weigh in at all.
Sherry, do you have anything you want to chime in about regarding item number 12?
Thank you for that. Thank you, Chairman. I don't have anything to add today. Sherry Whalen for the record. I don't have anything to add today. Thank you.
Okay. I don't have anything to add to this either. So with that said, Vice Chairman, would you entertain a motion then?
I would. I guess I just have one question that popped into my head. My apologies for the last minute nature of it. Since I'm kind of new to all of this, I'm just curious if there's a specific kind of strategic direction that we're looking to go with this building out there, space that's available, need to expand. Are we potentially putting ourselves in kind of a squeeze position down the road if the county itself needs more space, but we've committed it to other governmental entities? I know this is not the only other government entity that shares that space with us. And so just trying to understand kind of where we're going more long term. I certainly don't have any problem with providing the additional space if the GID needs it.
I'll be happy to respond if you'd like.
Go for it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osberg for the record. Commissioner Mitchell, you're right. That is something we have taken note. And so each of these do have closure. So if there's a point where one party notices another, then there would be a vacation that would exist. For the GID part, we kind of came out ahead here, or came out equally, as they're provided getting the office space they need, but they've also done tenant improvements to the building. They put in a wall and some other things that down the road will be able to be used for office space, whether it's them or others in the future. And we've had similar arrangements
Ames Construction was out there. They had used a facility and they had built some interior improvements that you see on the north end of the building and et cetera. The health department that's coming next, they're not doing that. They're just occupying a space. But if we do need that, then there would be a notice of, of eviction, to leave that space. But for the long term, I know it's outside the scope of this contract, so we'll keep it narrow. But we're working with the fire chief, and I'll let him speak to his capital improvements of potentially relocating the fire station component of this to another location out of Tri that's within 5 miles of Patrick that will enable development to occur within his ISO ratings. That will provide potential space expansion to the Station 75 for other offices, whether the county or otherwise. So hope that answers your question a bit.
That's great. Thank you. All right. Then with that in mind, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve Resolution 21-615, providing for the publication of notice of a proposed amendment of the lease to TRIGID and setting a public meeting on the proposed amendment for July 6, 2021 at 10:30 a.m. at the County Courthouse located at 26 South B Street in Virginia City, Nevada, and authorize the chairman to sign.
I second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for that, Keith. Thanks for joining us, Sherry. Moving on to item number 13. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of Resolution 21-616 regarding the publication and notice of the proposed lease of 120 square feet of office and parking spaces to the State of Nevada Department of Administration, Division of Public Works, on behalf of the Department of Health and Human Services, Division of Public and Behavioral Health, Environmental Health Section, DPBH, and providing for a public meeting on July 6, 2021 to consider objections to the lease. It is proposed that the lease will be for 4 years, subject to an option to renew for 5 and for no rent. DA Loomis, you want to take this?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Similar to the last item, this is a lease of our county property to the state for an office for a member of the environmental health section to locate, where they can do inspections of food trucks. They'll also inspect food processing facilities, and they'll inspect the restaurants and inspect things of a similar nature. That means that they're not coming from Carson City. They're actually going to have their office out there in Tri, which will save time and money for the state to handle it that way. Now, the proposed lease is of the property up Peru Drive. It's 120 square feet of office space with associated parking, and it's for 4 years for the initial term with a possible renewal for 5. The proposed rent is $0 per month, so we're going to be providing that property to them free of charge. Again, this has to be the fact that we're proposing to enter into this lease has to be published in a newspaper, and it has to set forth the time for which a hearing to hear objections to the proposed lease can be heard. And that's what Resolution 21-616 provides. And that's what I have.
Thank you for that. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Is there anybody from the state that wants to chime in on this item? Not seeing anybody. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
The only thing I was thinking is we might want to take note of this for when that discussion about impacts happens, because I think this one is a small check on our side of that ledger.
Indeed. Free office space. Definitely want to add it. You have anything to add on this, County Manager?
The only thing, Austin Osborne, for the record, the only thing I'll add on this is when the state came to us a couple of years back to lease this space or use it, their objective really was to be serving to Tri-Center employees and companies. So those folks used to have to go all the way to Carson City to get their health inspection documentation and their permits and all of that. Mm-hmm. And it was Paul Cullen that reached out to us and said, you know, I could be a much better service if I just stage out there at Tri. Then these companies just run right across the road and they can get all these services. They've been providing really a wonderful service out there for our vendors, our food trucks. We got over 48 food trucks out there. The other companies, it's been really wonderful.
Wow. All right. Noted. Thank you. With that, Vice Chairman, you want to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve Resolution 21-616, providing for the publication of notice of a proposed lease to the department on behalf of DPBH and setting a public meeting on the proposed lease for July 6, 2021 at 11 a.m. at the county courthouse located on at 26 South B Street, Virginia City, Nevada, and authorize the chairman to sign.
I'll second that motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for that. Moving right along to item number 14, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the annexation of property owned by EP Minerals into the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center and of an amendment to the development agreement dated February 1, 2000 between Story County, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, and DP Operating Partnership, LP, to allow commercial uses on all of the property proposed for annexation.
Mr. Chairman, Chairman, if I may, I hold a pecuniary interest in adjacent properties that is the subject of this agenda item. And in the interest of abundance of caution, I'm going to recuse from discussions and or voting on this particular issue. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lance. All right, D.A. Loomis, is this in D.A. Loomis? You want to take this?
Yes, I will, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Keith Loomis. there have been some changes to this in the intervening time since this was initially submitted for the agenda. In particular, the proposed development agreement amendment is out. That's not going to be part of it. And I'm not sure if Vanessa has provided you with the updated development agreement, which has eliminated Section 5 from the initially proposed agreement. Can you respond to that, Vanessa?
I have it here with me, Keith, but I did not give them copies.
Okay. But let me just, the change is really in the packet agreement is Section 5. That provision is being eliminated, and the only provision we're going to be addressing in the agreement is the annexation of the Eagle Pilcher properties. that really simplifies what's going to be happening, because we don't need to go back and amend the 1999 zoning ordinance to allow EP Minerals to do what they want to do with their property. And Mr. Pawnee, I see, is on board here, and he may have some comments on that. He's been representing EP Minerals throughout this process. I did send the revised agreement out to Vanessa on Friday, and she apparently has it and it's available for signature. But the main change is the elimination of Section 5. There have been some changes as to the notarization page to make it clear that it's 2021 and that the notary is going to be in Story County for the county signature. If you have any questions, I'm happy to respond. And I don't know if Mr. Pawnee has anything he wants to add.
What was his last name, Keith?
Pawnee.
Mr. Pawnee, is there anything you want to add?
Michael Pawnee for the record on behalf of EP Minerals. No, nothing to add. I think Mr. Loomis summarized it well. We've been annexed into the GID for water service and sewer service. We're now just looking to annex into the development agreement for our properties. Happy to answer any questions the commission may have.
All right, thank you for that. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments?
So just to confirm, the change that's been made from the original version that we were given is the elimination of Section 5 from the amendment, and that would be the section dealing with commercial uses?
Yes.
Correct in that understanding?
Yes.
Okay. And so in essence, it would basically, by annexing in EP Minerals, would be subject to basically the terms of the development agreement for TRI as currently stated and laid out from the 1999 or 2000 agreement, whatever that is.
That's also correct.
Great. Thank you very much.
I don't have any questions. I see Chris Thompson's got his hand raised.
Sir, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chris Thompson, project manager, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. I just want to confirm that Deputy District Attorney Keith Loomis reached out to us just to confirm that we would be good to go on designating the EP Minerals property as eligible for retail and commercial property. And the answer on that is yes. We think their property is like probably the premier retail sector that's still available for development in the park, and we need more amenities and retail. So we're all for this. And Deputy DA Loomis done a great job working with Bob Sater and us on this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for that, Chris. Did you have something, Austin?
Only thing I'll add is just for the development agreement, once a property is annexed into the agreement, it's, you know, by default zoned industrial too. If a company wants to come to the county and internally just have a letter written that says we hereby find this to be appropriate for commercial use, and then Tri-Center also agrees and the property also agrees, then it can be converted over to commercial use, just like Mr. Thompson suggested.
Got it. Thank you. And is that, do I understand that that there's a built-in ability to use up to 10% for commercial? And so this would be if it was in excess of that.
Keith Loomis again. I think the proposed amount of the annexation is around 570 acres, and right now approximately 2% of the industrial park is used for commercial purposes. The inclusion of this amount of property would not exceed the 10%. There would still be a fair amount of commercial use, a fair amount of property that could be put to a commercial use outside of these properties.
Okay. And also, Commissioner Mitchell, just to add to that, right now you're correct. I mean, there's a 10% cap on the entire industrial center being used for commercial uses. It seemed appropriate at the time, apparently, to create that cap. But we've talked with the folks up there and internally, potentially coming back to this board to reconsider that, maybe remove the cap or substantially increase the cap. You know, we would probably be fine if the entire industrial center was commercial, let alone up to 10%. It brings in sales tax dollars, brings amenities out there. There's nothing disadvantageous about it being CUs.
Great, thank you. And maybe I should have been more clear, and it's helpful to get that clarity. I think my specific question had to do with the use of a specific parcel. And if I understand it correctly, the use on the specific properties are allowed. For example, the tire rack, which is mostly a distribution warehouse, but they are allowed to do retail sales out of that location. And so I was just hoping to make sure that my understanding was correct, that regardless of any agreement that would need to be reached beyond that, if they're annexed in, they would be allowed to use up to 10% of their property for commercial as things stand if we were to annex them in. Is that a correct understanding?
No, it's not. I mean, the way that it works is that 10% of the industrial park can be used for commercial purposes. It's not limited to 10% of any particular parcel. So what planning has done is evaluated the number of parcels that are currently dedicated to commercial and said that that's about 2% of the park. And so if EP Minerals wants to use its entire parcel for commercial, they can come and ask for that and get a letter from planning, which would authorize them to use their entire parcel for commercial so long as it's below the 10%. They would have to go to the TRI LLC to get their concurrence, which is what Mr. Thompson has mentioned.
Okay, thank you.
All squared away?
Yep, thank you.
Chris has another question.
Oh, Chris, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Apologize for a second public comment here, but just to follow up on what County Manager Osborne said, both County Manager Osborne and the Planning Director, Kev Canfield, foresaw this issue on the 10% limitation quite some time ago. They called us, and we're in agreement that with the county that if that 10% ever needs to be increased to whatever the county would so desire, TRI has no issues at all. I think the original purpose of the 10% limitation was just to make sure that the arterials were going to stay available for industrial development. That's done at this point. And so that 10% limitation really no longer serves a purpose. So we're totally on board with what County Manager Osborne just said about in the future, if it needs to be increased, that's doable. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you. I don't have any questions that already haven't been addressed. So with that said, if you want to entertain a motion, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby move to approve the annexation of the property owned by EP Minerals and the amendment to the agreement to allow commercial zoning on the annexed property. And just for clarification, that's the updated agreement with the elimination of Section 5.
Oh, I'm sorry. Assistant DA Loomis, do you have a question or was that an accident?
No, it was not a question. I was just going to make sure that we recognize that there's not really going to be an amendment of the development agreement, which the commissioner referred to. So I think we're good.
So we're good?
We're good.
All right. I can redo that motion if we take out. Is it cleaner to take out that section about talking about the amendment to the agreement?
It really is, yes.
Okay, then what's the procedure? Did I retract the motion and start over since it hasn't been seconded? Is that okay?
Yeah, let's retract and start over.
Okay, I retract the previous motion. I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby move to approve the annexation of property owned by EP Minerals and to allow commercial zoning on the annexed property.
There's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for that, Assistant DA Loomis, and welcome back, Commissioner Gilman. All right. Moving us on to item number 15, which is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board, bringing us to item number 16, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of a memorandum of understanding between Story County Fire Protection District and the Story County Firefighters Association, Local 4227. Chief Longcar.
Commissioners, Jeremy Longcar for the record. This was brought about just because we can kind of see some problems with the way the contract was written, and we've had quite a few people on workman's comp. In looking at the contract, I wanted to get in and modify, and I presented this to the union. Some modifications to it was there was no means for direct deposit. So if you needed sick leave, I couldn't give you any. So I could just sit there and watch you run out of sick leave if you're seriously injured. And if you weren't eligible for the catastrophic leave fund, you get nothing. That was one of the problems. And the other problem was we split my staff in half. So the battalion chiefs or the office, assistants, no one else was eligible for any of this. So I rectified that by getting with HR as well as Jeannie Green. And we went through it and made this MOU. And what it did is it just took that out. It said, if you're a fire district employee, you may receive direct donation of sick or annual leave, provided you are injured. And we still kept the wording in there as far as what is a long-term injury. We did keep that in place. We did keep in the catastrophic leave. We just now made it simpler for if you get hurt, other employees can help you out and get you through that time. So we did present to the union. They were completely on board. So before you now, and you can see the markups and see the changes we made, but this is the MOU in which they both agree to, and with your signature, they're willing to sign it as well.
Okay. Is there any public comment regarding item number 16? Not seeing any public comments. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Chief Longcar on this?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything?
I do not. Thank you.
All right. Nor do I. With that said, Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you entertain a motion?
Be happy to. I fired Commissioner Mitchell. Move to approve the Memorandum of Understanding with the Story County Firefighters Association Local 4227, outlining changes to Article 8 of the 2019 to 2022 CBA as it relates to catastrophic leave and sick leave donations.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief. Bringing us to item number 17 is to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us on to item number 18, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the second reading for the general business license for Pilot Thomas Logistics, LLC. Address is 201 North Rupert Street, Fort Worth, Texas, 76107. Petroleum products, distribution, and wholesale. It shows me the sheriff's office is handling this. We have the sheriff with us or somebody from the sheriff's office.
Sorry about that. Didn't get my mic unmuted. They've passed all of the background and nothing on them to prohibit them from getting a license.
Thank you for that, Sheriff. Is there any public comment regarding item number 18? Is the applicant here with us? They'd like to say something? Not seeing either one of those. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Just for my edification, I'm wondering if there's what it is that causes a particular business license to be considered separate versus being on the consent or the list with everybody else. Is there someone from staff that can?
I'd like to defer to the sheriff. This is a sheriff one. He might be able to explain.
Okay.
Sheriff?
I'd be happy to if you want.
You want to explain that to all of us?
Yeah, it's just the way the ordinances are set up. If it's a privilege license or if it's a utilities license, then it goes to the sheriff's office. The ordinance was set up long before me, so that's the best explanation I can give you.
Got it. So in this case, is it a privilege license or is it a utility because of petroleum distribution?
It would be considered a distributor license, not a privilege license.
Okay, thank you very much. Great, thank you. That's my only question.
All right. So with that said, would you entertain a motion then?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the second reading, the general business license for Pilot Thomas Logistics, LLC, address of 201 North Rupert Street, Fort Worth, Texas, 76107, petroleum products, distribution, and wholesale.
Second your motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Sheriff. Moving right along to item number 19. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of business license second readings, A through F. Is there any public comment regarding item number 19? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed under agenda item 19, items A through F.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you and congratulations to all the new businesses. Moving right along to item number 20. This is public comment. Again, a reminder, public comment is 3 minutes. Now's your chance. Any public comment?
This is Louise Pena again at 334 Avenue de la Killers. I would like to thank both Austin Osborne and each one of you, the county commissioners, for first having such a professional meeting and getting so much done in an awesome amount of time. And I would also like to thanks for listening to all of the homeowners and doing what is then doing what is best for our county. And I'm very excited for all the changes that are headed our way in Lockwood. I thank you for supporting and getting our Tony Hildyard hired. It's exciting to see everything open and the community center is popping. And thanks so much for all your work. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment, Louise. Is there any other public comment today?
Yes, this is Jennifer Agnew, 97 Avenue de la, Avenue de la Blue Declare in Lockwood. What Ms. Pena just said, the commission, the county manager, and actually all of the departments that gave updates every time I listen. The county is in such great hands and such great shape. I enjoy hearing that we've got a little excess revenue compared to budget year to date, and I believe she said about 20% less expenses year to date so far compared to budget. So the county is doing great financially, professionally. I'm glad I live in this county. Let's just say that it's going very well. And thank you to all the individual people that are making that happen.
Thank you, Jennifer. Life is good in Story County, or so they say. Just don't print that. Is there any other public comment out there? I'm not seeing any public comment. We're moving right along to item number 21, which is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 11:52, and we will call this meeting adjourned. See you all in a couple weeks.